We'll get it right in a minute. I was walking along last week in the church. While walking along in the church, I already had something on my mind of what to do for New Year's Day, the day before New Year's, and the Lord started speaking to me. So I'm going to keep you short, sweet, and to the point. All right, how about just sweet and to the point? Yeah, I could say short, sweet, and to the point, but then y'all say, yeah, we heard that again. We hear that all the time. Okay, I'm going to turn that off. Okay, I'm turning this off, everybody. I already said y'all go make out with everybody. That's not what I meant. I meant y'all can make it around the church because there's not many people here. And instead I said y'all go make out with everybody. That's not what I meant. So some of y'all were getting excited. You ain't got to... All right, here we go. All mixed up. All right. How many got some wonderful things for Christmas? How many got some things you're not sure what it is? Well, New Year's resolutions, of course. I get to use this next week, but I use it this week for those who might not be here next week. I made a list of New Year's resolutions last year, and so far I've kept every one of them. Keep them right here. Okay, remember, let me tell you a few announcements first. Number one, we're not having a Tuesday night service this week only because we're going to have a Thursday night service, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock. Remember, I know we can set back and figure out to the very exact minute, whatever, but when you look at them, I think it's the meridian line, I'm trying to keep up with it, but at 7 o'clock, New Year's comes in, and so it's easier for us, with everybody here that doesn't like to drive at night. How many love to drive at night? Okay, I love to drive at night too. I can be crazy. My wife said "er." Did you say "er"? Crazy "er." So we're going to have New Year's Eve service at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we got a roar going on here somewhere. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to ring in the New Year because that's when officially the New Year comes in. So at 7 o'clock, we're going to ring in the New Year. Although we celebrated at 12. It comes in at 7, so we're going to get ahead of time. We're actually going to be ahead of somebody. Amen. Isn't that cool? So if you know some people who want to come to a New Year's Eve service, but they don't want to be out and about at 12 o'clock, tell them to come be at ours, be here at 6. Also, all that will, bring you some food. Bring some food with you. either some snack food or some finger food. Just bring some food, enough for you and somebody else. We're going to have a good time. We're not going to keep you long after 7 o'clock. But up till 7 o'clock, we're going to be eating, drinking, be merry. At 7 o'clock, we're going to praise in the new year, and then we may have a little bit, and then we're going to, you know, whatever else, finish up the eating and stuff. Also, we've been talking about the other services on Sunday night and on Tuesday night. I'm going to go ahead and put it out here now. And this is we're going to start only having, this is all trial. This is all on trial. This is not permanent. It's not written in stone. If it is written in stone, Marina told me the stone rolls away. Okay, but again, starting this week, actually, we're going to start having one Sunday night service a month. The one Sunday night service a month that we're going to have will be on the same Sunday we have communion, which is what? First Sunday. And so, because I know it's getting hard for people to get here at Sunday night, and it's dark, and the weather, there's all kinds of things, and some people just don't want to come anymore at Sunday night, and that's fine. I'm not here to say yay or nay. I'm just here to say that Sunday nights, I mean, a lot of churches are doing totally away with Sunday nights, but we're going to have one Sunday night a month, and we're going to make it special. It's going to be at the fellowship hall. It'll be something special each time. We're not even sure what we're going to always be doing, but if some of you have any ideas for some creative ways to have that Sunday night service, come see me, all right? And so this Sunday will be the first Sunday after the New Year's comes in. And so, again, I'm going to ask you bring something. We're just going to get big because we're going to eat on Thursday night. We're going to eat the New Year in. And then we're going to eat on Sunday night afterwards at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. So that, after that, you got to fast. That's why you got no more Sunday night services until the next time, because you got to fast the rest of the way. Okay? So and also Sunday mornings, we're going to start Sunday mornings at 10:30, but not right away because people can't get used to it just like that. So we're going to start making the announcements. And we'll have a target date probably in 4 weeks or so. Have a target date to start services at 10:30. Okay? So it's going to be an awesome time around here. And again, all this is trial. This is all trial stuff. And nothing is set in stone except for Jesus loves you. Okay? And we're just going to give it a shot and see what it'll do because you know what? And here's the story I told everybody else. Back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, Georgia, their number one crop was cotton. The boll weevil came in. They could not stop the boll weevil. The boll weevil was tearing it all to pieces. And they were trying to figure, they were going broke, they were going under. And they said, what do we do to sustain our life for our families and do this stuff if the boll weevil keeps coming in and we can't get rid of them? One farmer said, I plant peanuts. I don't have a problem. And so he talked the rest of the guys into planting peanuts. They planted peanuts, and of course, the rest is history. Jimmy Carter, who came from Georgia, was a what kind of farmer? Where do you get a lot of your peanuts from? Georgia. Okay, so they started planting peanuts. They didn't quit farming. They just changed the way they did it, and the rest is history. And so in this day and time we live in, it would be nice if we could go back to Andrew Griffith's show. You know, but I'm sorry, the happy days, that stuff, and Andy Griffith's not around here anymore. People are fighting heavy battles, and there's stuff that's going on now that we never thought we'd have to fight. And so, and people are working around the clock, and so we're trying to accommodate people having to work around the clock, having to get up so early, you know, in the morning. So there's a whole lot of stuff that we're trying to maneuver, so to speak, to have a more efficient a church. And so let's give it a shot. Everybody okay with that? Anybody not okay with that? Yeah, we'll keep you posted. Okay, so just know, coming up in about 4 weeks, we're going to start 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and that's going to start the praise and worship. And for all of y'all that want to beat the Baptist to McDonald's, you may stand a better chance. Okay. How many in here, again, how many in here has ever got a Christmas gift that you didn't really know what to do with? Didn't know what to say. I can honestly say I didn't get any of those this year. Matter of fact, I got one of my favorite gifts of all. It brought tears to my eyes until we almost hit a speed bump. My wife was taking me, she said, I'm going to show you a Christmas gift, but you can't have it yet. And I'm thinking, okay. So riding in the dark, she's going to show me. I thought, what's she got? And so riding down the road, and she goes down Highway 17, and then we turn by the ball field. I'm thinking, okay, but then we pass that. She asked me, how much did I weigh a couple nights before? I said, 247. Well, I thought she just asked me that so she could say, okay, so if you ever fall in the septic tank, I know how much to dig out. £247. Okay, there he is. Send him in that sack right over there. He'll be over there. All right. So as we go, I start going to Warren Field. I said, wait a minute. And then she started joking about the gym there, and I'm already in the gym. So then I realized she's bought me a parachute jump. And so that really got to me. I even started crying until she almost hit the speed bump at full speed. And I hollered, speed bump! And all of a sudden, we went there and talked with the people. And so coming up in this year, I'm going to be jumping out of an airplane. Isn't that cool? That's how I love it. Yeah. Somebody says, yeah, I knew he was crazy. Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm going to tell you who's even as crazy as I am. Daniel. Yeah, you going to jump too? Oh. I was going to say is, would you like to come join us? Anybody, we can make a party out of it, okay? Daniel's going to jump with me. DC's going to jump with me. Sam may jump. And so it's going to be cool. I did see a paraplegic man. They took him up in his on their site. They took him up, and as they took him up, and as he's coming down, they said you go about 100 to 150 coming down until you hit the chute. And when they hit the chute, this guy's face is doing all like this, and the guy's holding the camera like that. And then the guy, as the chute opens up, he goes, oh, and then he says something. And the man said, watch your mouth. He said, oh, and said it again. Matter of fact, I think he said it five times on the way down. But I said, if that man with no legs can do it, I know I can do it. Amen. Okay, so here's the Christmas gifts. I'm going to give you some ammunition just in case you get some more Christmas gifts and you don't know what to say about them. Ready? All right, here are 10 things. 10 things to say about Christmas gifts if you don't like them. Number one, hey, now that's a gift. Have you ever said that? Hey, now that's a gift there. Number two, well. That's it. Well. Okay. Number eight. Boy, if I hadn't recently shot up 4 sizes, that would fit. Y'all. Okay, let's go quick. Number seven. This is perfect for wearing around the basement. Number six. Gosh, I hope this never catches fire. It is fire season, though. There are a lot of unexplained fires. In other words, let me go take it out back and burn it up. Number five, if the dog buries it, I'll be furious. That might be your fruitcake. Although, let me just say, what was that thing y'all gave us at Senior Saints? Was that a fruitcake, or what kind of cake was that? It was wonderful. It was absolutely delicious. Linda said, is it a fruitcake? I said, I'm not sure. I said, I know they got oatmeal in it. But it was awesome stuff. Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I want to make sure I told you that because the dog didn't bury it. I buried it right here. All right. Number four. I love it, but I fear the jealousy it will inspire. Everybody want one. Number three. Sadly, tomorrow I enter the Federal Witness Protection Program. Go again. Let's see. I'm getting close. How many more I got? Two more. Okay, because I don't see how many numbers on the side here. Okay, go ahead. To think I got this year, I vowed to give all my gifts to charity. All right, finally. I really don't deserve this. Okay, some of y'all got it. Some of you probably still got it. And they're still going, huh? Okay, here we go. I was walking through here, and the Lord just started speaking to me. And he said, in order for things to change, now this is all of us, me included, in order for things to change, and to change correctly, and our life is full of changes. Life is nothing but a series of changes. You know that. Some of them you bring on, some of them you just happen to be in. Some of them you invite, some of them you want, some of them you don't want. How many's got changes in your life that you really want? How many's got changes in life you could have cared less if you got that change? I really don't deserve this. I'm going to the Witness Protection Program next week. All right. In order for us to change, before the situation changes, the way we see things has to change. Think about it. Before situations, no matter what they are, before situations can change, we first have to see change the way we see the situation before it will change. I sent something out a couple of weeks ago, last Sunday I think it was, is that the problem's not the problem. The problem is how we see the problem. Amen? Some see situations and go, this sure is a stinky situation. Some people say, this is fertilizer. We're getting ready to grow. It's on how you see it. So now, here we go. A new perspective. Look at those things. See the clouds going through there? Isn't that cool? A new perspective in the new year. Or new year, new perspective. God put some spectacles up there is because when I take these things off, I can barely read if it's close up anymore. And it's amazing how I've done some crazy things lately because I picked it up and thought I didn't have my spectacles on and I've done some crazy mess. And I say, oh no, I didn't have my glasses on. So I put my glasses on, now all of a sudden things changed. Some of us in here right now, matter of fact, all of us, need to ask God to give us some new spectacles for this year to help us deal with family problems, to deal with work problems, to deal with whatever problems, our relationship with Jesus Christ, to help us deal with all this. So get ready. Let's read it. Ready? Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either are already perfect. Now I'm gonna break this down a little bit so you can understand it a little different. Because this kind of gets crazy sounding. Not as though I'd already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Well, that's a mouthful. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let's just read a little different version here. Not that I have now attained this ideal. I've not already been made perfect. This is actually going to be short, sweet, but it's going to be, I hope it gives you some hope. But I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my aspiration, forgetting those things which lies behind and straining forward to those which lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us. So now, we're going to talk about new perspective. We're going to talk about new perspective in several areas. The very first perspective I want to talk about is a new perspective on ourselves. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. How many in here are perfect? How many in here have got it all together and never mess up? Preacher was doing that one Sunday, and the lady in the back, she raised her hand. She said, I know a perfect one. And he said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but there was only one perfect one, and that was Jesus. She says, no, there's another one. And so he said, ma'am, if you don't mind, stand up and tell us who the other perfect man was. The man did. The man stood up. And the man said, there's another. And the preacher said, sir, there was only one perfect, Jesus Christ. Tell us who this other perfect man was. She said, my wife's first husband. All right. Get ready. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. That word attained means to win. It means to come to a point of no more conflict. Isn't that awesome? No more conflict, to actually have finished the course and had the prize in your hand. That word perfect means to be completed. No more room for growth. Let me tell you something. I'm going to shock some of you in here right now. I'm going to shock you so bad you may have to bring out the smelling salts. Your pastor is not perfect. Oh, wow. But let me tell you something else. Look all around you. There is not one perfect person in here. Now, there's not one of us in here can say, listen, there's nobody in here that can say, there's no more conflict, I've finished my course, I've already won, I've completed, and there's no more room for growth. If Paul said that, whew! If the Apostle Paul says that, what about us? You know what that helps me to understand, and it gives me hope in the middle of my stupidity. How many here have done things just pure stupid? Amen. I think I wrote a book. How many here have done things and said, Lord, I'm not going to do it again, and guess what? I love this. I want y'all to say this, too. I am not perfect. Say it again. I am not perfect. Therefore, I need to be patient. You know, a lot of times we'll find ourselves beating ourselves up because we don't think that we're doing exactly, and sometimes we're not. We're way from where we should be, and things keep happening. We wonder, why in the world am I going through this again and again, and why am I seem to fight this same battle, or why am I fighting this battle with that person again, and why on my job is this happening this way again? And you realize, hey, we haven't come to a place of completion. Nobody in here has come to a place of completion. So that gives me hope that I know that there's coming a time and there's room for growth and something's going to happen. Matter of fact, Paul, the same one who wrote this, listen here, wrote this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, I not. But what I hate, that I do. Let me put that in just plain old English, okay? I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled. I'm bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns. Now, if I habitually, what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take sides with it. However, it is no longer I who do the deed, but the sin principle within me, the nature within me, which is at home in me and has possession of me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but have not the power to carry it out. For if I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do, then what I'm ever doing. Now, if I do not desire to do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it, it is not myself that acts, but the sin principle which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul. Now what's all that? That's a big mouthful to say this. The old man is dead, but he's still moving. You hear that? The old man is dead, but he's still moving. The Bible says in Galatians there's a constant battle between us, between the good, or between the flesh and the spirit. And so it's like the man who had the man in Alaska for about 10 years. He'd bring his dogs to fight every Saturday. He had a black dog and a white dog. And every Saturday, he would bet on which, he'd fight them, and he would bet on which one would win. And every year for 10 years straight, if you bet on the black dog, it would win. If you bet on the white dog, it would win. And at the end of 10 years, he retired them, and they said, let me ask you a question. How did you always know which dog was going to win? He said, oh, simple. The one I fed all week. So, here it is, within us. What do we feed? So, again, I need to be patient with myself. Watch this, I love it. Because, be patient with myself, for when I fall and when I fail, I can know this is not all. Praise God. When I mess up, I know that God still has a plan. And it's going to be okay. And if I will go to Him and talk to Him when I fail, when I falter, I go to Him, then He forgives, He lifts up, and He will bring us to a place of perfection. But not only when I fail do I need to be patient with me, when I succeed I need to be patient with me. You know why? Because sometimes when you succeed and achieve, you think, now I have arrived. Man, I walked good all week. I haven't messed up all week. I'm doing good. Man, oh man. God, I'm in there. I've been walking in the Holy Ghost. I've been walking spiritual. Man, I am awesome. Watch out. So, when I fail, this is not all. God is going to do something. When I succeed and achieve, again, I got to know this is not all. There's more for me to be done in His kingdom. I've just got to trust God to help me to do what He's called me to do. And not only do I need to be patient with me, I need to be patient with others. I need to be patient with others when they fall, when they fail. Because again, this is not all. This is not it. As long as you're in Christ Jesus, there's always hope and God's always doing something for you. And God uses a success is built in with a string of failures. There's success. Always remember that in God. A success is usually lined with failure. And so then another succeed again. Remember, this isn't all. There's more for us to do. So that ought to get you excited. Then, a new perspective on our past. I'm almost through, believe it or not. Y'all don't believe it, do you? Okay. A new perspective on the past. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And again, I'm not going to go in deep. I just want to hit it kind of soft. This one thing I do, single objective, a single focus, your mind is not divided. You know, you cannot steal second with your foot still on first. It's impossible. I've never seen anybody with their foot on first steal second. It's impossible to keep looking behind you. The Bible says that he that puts his hand through the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. People say that means they're going to hell. Not necessarily. What it means is you cannot plow a straight line looking behind you. It's impossible. It's hard enough to plow looking straight ahead. But can you imagine trying to plow looking all around here and looking all back here? And single focus. Yes, I've messed up in the past, or yes, I've had problems in the past, or yes, we fussed in the past, or yes, I had problems on my job in the past, or yes, there was problems here or there, or yes, there were some mountains I had to climb, yes, there was all kinds of things. But keep my focus forward. Not divided, focus. There's a lot of folks right now that are going through difficulties in their life, and then there's difficulties in their life because of past pain. And that past pain keeps pulling them back, and they keep looking at the past pain. And they're trying to go forward, but they keep looking at the past pain. And sometimes that past pain doesn't whisper. Sometimes that past pain hollers. And when it hollers, you're looking back. In front of you, you have no idea what's going on because it's there. Worry, fear is there to divide your mind. So now, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, the word forget is a really awesome word because it means to lose out of your mind. Not to lose your mind, but to lose out of your mind. Meaning, hey, it's still there, but I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to fix myself on it. I'm going to lose it. There's times, how many's ever lost your keys in the house? I'm asking you another one. How many's ever lost your keys in the car? How many's ever lost your keys in the ignition? Amen. Lost your glasses on your face, yeah. I remember one time I was walking in Roses, way on back in the day when DC and Daniel were little, and I had DC on my back and Daniel on my shoulders. And I walked in and DC whispered to me and says, where's Daniel? And I went, oh no! And looking all over the store trying to find, where'd Daniel go? And Daniel goes, had him on my shoulder. Again, it's still there. But I'm not dwelling on it because now I've got a single focus. I'm looking forward, not backwards. I'm looking forward. I'm not allowing that hollering to even affect me. You know what? If you'll quit listening to the hollering, eventually they'll calm down. It's the same way with your kids when they get, or even with our dogs. You know, Linda keeps saying, don't reward that hollering or that barking. Dogs don't holler, they bark. Our dogs holler. She says, don't reward that hollering. Just calm down, turn around, and they'll calm down. You know what? The next time your past, the next time your problems, the next time your pain is barking at you, do like my wife showed me. Just turn around and do this. She does good at that, too. Those dogs will calm right down. I'm trying. I'll get it eventually. My wife says she's got to train me and the dogs. Matter of fact, she says she has to untrain me so I can untrain the dogs. So here we go. Lose out of my mind those things which are behind. That word behind doesn't just mean they're behind me. Listen, it's a very active word. Again, I could have put this up first. That word behind literally means to follow after. It's still coming. It's not just back there. is here. He said, well, I wish you wouldn't bring up things that hurt me years ago, or bring up things that hurt me yesterday, or bring up things that hurt me a week or two ago. And I'm going, wait a minute. I'm not bringing it up. You're living with it every day. It's following. It's following you. And when you least expect it, all of a sudden, you'll hear that argument again in your head. Or when you least expect it, you'll see that person. Or when you least expect it, something will happen and you'll be reminded of that very painful situation. And so he says, I want you to lose it out of your mind. Keep your focus forward. Don't be divided. I know there's pain back there. There's things back there you wish that had never happened. There's things back there you wish that you had never seen. There's things back there you wish you'd never had to be confronted by and back and forth. But leave it back there. Lose it out of your mind. It's still coming. But you know what? It doesn't have to destroy you. You can't deny it, but you don't have to destroy you. So watch this. My past, your past, can trap you. Full of regrets, cause you to regress. Every time you take a step forward, you're taking two back. Because you're hearing that sound. That pain going, pay attention to me. And so you stop what you're doing and you pay attention to the pain while life passes you by, and then you get back in there. You've lost your place. You've lost your mark. You don't even know. It's confusion because now you've lost. You don't know. You haven't kept up with the scorecard. Or my past can teach me. Remember, it's falling behind me. It's still crawling. So watch this. By teaching me, it may repeat in my head, but that gives me experience. It may repeat in my head, but I can soften that hollering because now I'm not giving into it. And how do I not give into it? Watch this. Repeat in my head, yes. Repeat in action, no. Just stop it. Put it behind you. It's behind me now. Put it behind you and watch what God can do with you. You see, we are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of our past. You understand that? We're products of our past, but we don't have to be imprisoned by it. I'm getting ready to quit. A new perspective on our present. Reaching into those things which are before him. I'm putting the past is coming up. It's coming at you. But you know what? You can win this thing. So watch this. Reaching forth to those things which are before. It's something we pursue with passion and direction. Passion and direction. It's a focus that is fixed. Passion and direction. Live in the present. That's what I wrote to this mighty army this morning. The past, leave the past there because you can't do a thing about it. Only thing you can do about the past is, number one, is learn from it and change how you view it. I look at it as a lesson instead of a loss. I can look at it as a blessing instead of a curse. I can look at it as a springboard instead of a roadblock. So while I look behind me, I can change the way I look at it. Perspective. The same in my present. All my energy, all my resources, all my hopes, all my dreams. The Bible tells us that whatever we do for God, do it with all of our heart. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 says in verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord shall receive, knowing that that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You serve the Lord Jesus. Wow. So now watch this. What do we say most of the time? We haven't said it much lately because I don't want to burn you out with it, but we're going to say it again. We're saying it again this week coming up. We'll say it right now. Before I preach, many times I'll say this. Watch this. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Now, put it personal. The past is behind me. The future is ahead of me. Y'all say it with me. The past is behind me. The future is ahead of me. God is with me. And nothing shall be impossible. Now here we go. New perspective on the prize. I'm getting ready to close. Y'all look like y'all have been eggnogged out. Here we go. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's being pursued with intensity. Remember, the past falling behind you, Satan's using that with intensity to drag you down. How many in here ever played football? Tackle football. Okay? How many has ever had to run behind somebody to get them down? That's how my collarbone got broke. I was playing football, and the guys come, and they were chasing me as hard as they could chase me. And the only thing they could grab was a foot when it went in the air. And when the foot went in the air, I fell down on my side, and the guy sat right on top of me, collarbone, snapped it like a twig. But again, they said it was the last play of the game, and then it was the last kickoff. And when I got the kickoff, I was running and running with all my might and said, we're going to go ahead and make this an easy one. And we'll go ahead and get across the goal line. It'll be fine. And just before I got to the goal line, they caught me and took me down. And that was the end of that game, the end of my playing for quite some time. Again, some of us in here right now, this is your last kickoff. Jesus Christ is coming back so soon. This is your last kickoff. And you want to give it all you got, but just know that behind you, your past is coming up on you. Pain is coming up on you. Hurt is coming up on you. And it's coming behind you, and it's giving everything it can to get you, and it's hollering, trying to get your attention, to get your mind off everything else but that pain. And you got to keep on going forward and keep on going forward, and with intensity. Don't worry about it. Satchel Paige says, don't look behind you. He says, don't look behind you. How's he say it? Don't look behind you because it may be gaining on you. Whatever. Satchel Paige was a great ball player. Press. Look at this. Press through the past, press in the present, and press for the future. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27 says, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. If therefore so run I, not as uncertainly. So fight I, is not one that beateth there. I'm not shadow boxing. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, at least that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Give it everything you got. This year coming up, matter of fact, I'll give you a little hint. As of right this moment, it may change, but as of right this moment, I plan on preaching on Nowhere Man this Sunday coming up. Nowhere Man. I'll just leave it at that. Nowhere Man. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your whole year to be spent in Nowhere Land? Making all your Nowhere plans. I know the Beatles came up with it first. That's all right. I borrowed it. And I put some scriptures with it. So that's good. They didn't realize they were writing a scriptural song or a spiritual song. God wants us, in this time where we're tending to not give it our best shot anymore. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody just close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. I want you to think back to a time. You're not looking at anybody else. I want you to think back to a time. I'm not talking about places, and I'm not talking about surroundings. I'm talking about you. Remove the stuff from around you, just you. Even remove the people, it's just you. I want you to think back to a time when you actually was giving it your best shot for you, your God, your family, your life. A time when you just gave it your best shot. I know there's things hit you below the belt. I know there's things that knock you in the head. I know there's people pull drug out from under you. There's people that hurt you. I'm not talking about that. All of that is what's causing now you not to give it your best shot. But if you will take 2016, it's a year of reconciliation. Where'd that come from? Along with this message, the year of reconciliation. Reconcile us, reconciled with ourself, reconciled with God, reconciled with our work, reconciled with our family, reconciled with the church, just reconciled, just getting back in there, getting back in there. Think about that time when you gave it your best shot. How long ago was that? And how hard would it be? To put behind you all of the reasons why you're not giving it your all now. It may be screaming at you, it may be hollering, the pain may be unbearable. But how hard would it be with God's help to put it behind you and stretch, stretch, stretch toward the goal, giving it your all once again. For God. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You can pick up your eyes. You can open your eyes now. I can tell you what's going to happen. Number one, you're going to feel revival in your soul. Number two, the church is going to feel revival. And number three, you and the church and the kingdom will grow. It'll happen. Because now you're not looking around, well, why don't they do something? You know, I want to put us out on Mighty Army, but I'm not sure how to put it out there yet because I'm waiting for the right time for the Holy Ghost to tell me it's the right time. But also I have to be careful because I don't want it to come across the wrong way. But I was reading this quote by one of these athletes, and he said, "The question is not who's going to let me. The question is who's going to stop me." This year coming up, who's going to let me get close to God? Who's going to let me get in there and give it my all again? Who's going to let me? Who's going to help me? No, the question is not who's going to let me. Who's going to stop me? My mind's made up. Best year ever. Best year ever. Best year ever. Best year ever. Look at somebody and say, best year ever. Give them a high five, low five, no five. Say, best year ever. Best year ever. Best year ever. Best year ever. All right. Musicians, come here and pull a rabbit out of your hat. Again, Bo Eagle. Hey, look, why don't you pull a rabbit out of my hat? Again, Bo Eagle. Best year. One other thing, if you're going through hard times now, usually the hard times are an indicator of just how great it is waiting on the other side, because Satan's going to try his best to keep you from seeing what's coming. And so if he can get you involved and keep you back here, then you can't see what's coming. Everybody that will, I'm just going to ask you, come on up to the altar. Come to the altar, and I want you to talk to God. Just talk to Him. This is our best year coming up. Yes, we've had struggles. Yes, we've had pain. Yes, there's been things behind us that could crush us. But quit listening to the hollering of the past, the pain. Press. Used to always get me as pretty a pasture as if we've got up and down these roads. You watch that cow. There'll be cows going through that barbed wire fence, getting barbed wire all up on their neck, getting holes. You can sometimes see the blood where they're trying to get that one little bitty flower, that one little bitty thing out there by the outside the fence. and all that pasture they've got. But that's stretching. Let's turn back into the pasture and do the same thing. All that will, come and pray. You got to pray for anything or just want to thank God? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This year is our best year. This year is going to be our best year. This year is going to be our best year. Thank you, Father. This year, our best year. Yes, the pastor's screaming at us. Yes, the herd is screaming at us. But this year is our best year. This year is our best year. This year is going to be our best year. This year, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. This year is going to be our best year. Soul, worship His holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes. Your Father. Stretch forth. When the pain's hollering, stretch forth. When the past is hollering, stretch forth. Stretch forth. Get a new perspective. Thank you, Father. Worship His holy name. Yes. God is awesome. Look at somebody and tell him this is going to be our best year yet. You're going to say, well, you don't understand the pain behind me. Go and say it. Just remember, Now, how many has ever seen that show, Hoarders? I try not to watch it. Okay, because my wife says I'm a hoarder. And my daddy's a hoarder. We even had a contest one time. We were throwing stuff away, and I said, I bet my daddy would take it. She said, I bet he would, too. And whatever I took over there, he took. Didn't matter. I could bring him whatever. He took. And she said, yeah. Okay. How many's kept clothes that are way, 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 way too small for you? And you keep saying, well, maybe I'll get back. How many's kept something like you kept a book because it was full of information, and then you find out later on that in the 10th edition, it don't even come close to having the same information you need to operate, like in a computer. How many's ever was an expert in MS-DOS? How many's an expert now? But do you still use MS-DOS? Occasionally, okay. See, she's the expert. That's why I keep doing like that. Okay. The only thing I know of that doesn't change is the Bible. Okay. So I was going to say is, though, we pick on people for hoarding stuff, but the Lord gave me a revelation. And that is, some of us are hoarding pain. Wow. I'm going to let that one sink a minute. The Lord just gave it to me about 3 minutes ago. Some of us are hoarding pain. Either we feel like we're not good enough not to hurt, or we feel like if we let go of it, we'll hurt more, or we feel like we just deserve to hurt, and so we hoard it. And if you could open up the cabinet of your brain and your feelings, all that pain and all those problems are in there. And God says, if you just lose it in your mind and press forward, there's a prize waiting. There's a prize. I even said when the Lord spoke it to me, I said, Lord, help me not to hoard past pain, past problems, past hurt. Quit hoarding it. Get rid of it. And watch what you can do. Amen. Amen. So, remember, no service tonight. No service Tuesday night because we're having it Thursday night. Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Bring something with you. Bring. If you forgot to bring something, it don't matter. We'll have enough for you. But still, if you can't remember, bring some kind of finger food. We're going to maybe play a few games. And we're gonna praise in the new year. We're singing. And then the following Sunday is our first Sunday of every month is our service. Now, they also said the 14th. The 14th of February is on Sunday. And so we're going to have a banquet, a dinner over in the fellowship hall on the 14th for Valentine's. Sunday night for Valentine's, yes. Okay. God's awesome. All the time. God is awesome. Brother Wayne, will you just miss us in prayer, please?